So this week's Sedra begins, V'hoya ekev tishmu nes ha-mishpotim o'eila, and it will be when you listen to these laws, u'shmartem, and you guard, v'asisem o'isam, and you do them, v'shoma Hashem lekecha l'choyas ha-bris, then God, your Lord, He will guard the covenant for you, v'sachesed ha-shinishba l'avisecho, and the kindness, the loving kindness that He swore to your ancestors. So, the Piasetz Nereb in Eish Kodesh, it's been a long time since we learned any of this together. This week, he talks about something which is very close to my heart. And you know that the Sefer Yetzirah, the commentary on Sefer Yetzirah, was based around the idea that the essential motive force in the universe, the motive for the universe, is God's desire, and that everybody can experience that desire we experience inside us, like an empty hole, called it the God-shaped hole that we experience inside, that we often try to fill that hole with all kinds of things and actions and chemicals or whatever it is. We can never fill it because it's the essential stuff of which the universe is made. It's Ratzon. So the Rebbe, the Piasetz, the Rebbe begins this week's Seder, and he says, we learn in the Gemara in Zvochim that everybody knows the Temple Mount, Zion, the mountain in Jerusalem, was actually shared between the territory of Judah and the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. They were neighbors. And part of the Temple Mount is in the territory of Judah and partly in the territory of Benjamin. So the altar on which the sacrifices were made, that spot was actually in the territory of the tribe of Judah. There was like a tongue of territory, a peninsula that went out and sort of penetrated the tribe of Benjamin. So the Gemara says that Benjamin fretted about it, that he wouldn't have the holiness in his territory, and he felt so bad that God had compassion with him, and so the Holy of Holies is situated in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. So the Rebbe says, the Pasuk says, Choyfeif olav kalayim, that Benjamin fretted. He fretted over this. He worried, he had anxiety. And then it says, Bink Seif of Shochin. So the Shekhinah dwells between his shoulder blades, so to speak. So he became Ushpizichne, the Shekhinah. He became the host of the Shekhinah. So the Rebbe says, it's not just that he had a desire. Having a desire is not enough. The desire, the Hebrew word for desire, is Rotzoin. The Arizal says that the word Rotzon, Resh Tzadik Vav Nun, those letters can be turned around to read Sinor, which is a conduit, a pipe. So a person's pipe, a person's desire, acts as a conduit through which things flow through that person. He says, but it's not just your desire. Sometimes we're blocked. Sometimes the tzinor is blocked, the conduit. In a sense, our spiritual plumbing, right? It's, for some reason, the pipe is thin there, or, you know, there's like a bottleneck. For one reason or another, we don't let things flow through us as they should. So the Rebbe says, in addition to a person's desire, they also have to have a measure of pain at the unfulfillment of the desire. Just to have a powerful desire it's good, but it's not enough. You have to have some kind of angst that the desire isn't being fulfilled or won't be fulfilled, or something will prevent it from being fulfilled. And that angst is the equivalent of gevura. So the desire that you have is the chesed, it's the giving. You desire to give. Being prevented from giving gives you pain. The pain that you have unblocks you. The pain that you have is the antidote to the gevura withholding. So besides having ratzon, you also have to have tsa'ar. You also have to have pain, and that pain, together with the desire, is what opens you up to become the conduit for the downflow, for the shefa. So he says, with this we could understand Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was being tortured to death, and his students said to him, Rabbi, ad kan, this far? So what were they asking? You know, he was saying the Shema, and the Romans were combing his flesh with the iron curry combs, right? And his students are listening to him saying the Shema, and they say, ad kan, this far? What were they asking? It couldn't be that they were asking, Rebbe, is this really what you brought upon yourself? Do you have to go this far? I mean, like, at this point, Rabbi Akiva was no longer in charge of anything. You know, he had been, you know, it was all happening to him. What was... So the Rebbe says, they were asking him, how are you able to really concentrate in the pain? How are you able to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim? How are you able to accept upon yourself the horrible pain? How to come? It doesn't disturb your concentration. So Rabbi Akiva answers, kol yomai hoyisi mitzta'er, all my life I was in pain over this verse. The verse in the Shema, it says, v'haftas Hashem lekecha b'chol levav chol nafshecha melecha. You have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. So all your soul means even if God takes your soul from you, you have to love God. So he says, all my life I was in pain that I won't have a chance to fulfill this mitzvah of loving God with all my soul, even if he takes my soul. So now that God is taking my soul, shouldn't I jump in and do my kavanot, you know, to have my intention to meditate on this? So the Rebbe says, Rebbe Akiva is saying the same thing as the Gemara, that the students were asking him, how do you transcend your situation? How do you overcome everything in order to be a oneness with God in this state of joy? He says, because it's not just that I wanted to sanctify the name of God. I guess everybody wants to sanctify the name of God. He says, but all my life I've been in pain that I might not. So the Rebbe says, it's the desire and the pain together. That's what makes things happen. So the desire is one thing, but the pain that Rabbi Akiva had, that maybe he won't die al Kiddush Hashem, that maybe he won't be able to sanctify the name of God with his last breath, the pain that he had, that's really what opened him up. And then what really happens is what happened to the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was afraid that it wouldn't happen, and the pain that he had is what brought down the Shekhinah, who being safe of Shochin, so he became the host for the Shekhinah. The pain opened him up so much that he actually became the place where the Shekhinah came to dwell. Rabbi Akiva also, he became the place where the Shekhinah came to dwell. Why? Not just because he wanted to sanctify the name of God, but because he had pain that it wouldn't happen, that he might be blocked, that he might not, when it came to the moment, he might not be able to concentrate and so forth. That pain that he had, that anxiety that he had, that opened him up so much that the Shekhinah flowed into him. He became the Mekadesh, he became the sanctification of God's name, he became the dwelling place. In that moment, the Shekhinah was dwelling inside him. So of course he was able to concentrate. He was receiving the gift. That's what he was saying to them. They were saying, Ad Khan, so far, you're able to stay in this state of meditation. And he's saying, yeah. And you know what the secret is? Then I didn't just want it, but I was in pain that it might not happen. So the Rebbe goes on to say, you know, we live in a world where there's so much disconnection. It's so hard to experience the Shekhinah inside us. Not only do we live in the desire to want to experience the presence of God, but we also have pain. And because, you know, the Rebbe is sitting in the Warsaw ghetto watching the destruction of the whole world that he knew, and he talks about all the yeshivas and the Beis HaMedrashes and everything that, you know, is all disappearing in front of his eyes, and saying, you know, Bnei Shalom, Master of the Universe, we so want to be connected to you. And look, and then he says, you know, we can use the pain, just the pain of life. What is the pain that we have in our life if not pain at the disconnection, pain at the and anxiety of disconnection, of dislocation from God? If we want, we can open ourselves up, because we all have enough pain in our lives that we can just connect the two. If I understand that my desire to worship God and the pain that I have and the things that are happening around me, this really, it's one thing, then I can open myself up, I can unblock myself, right? So he talks a lot about what it is to be a Rebbe and not have anybody to ask you for Torah. What happens to a Rebbe that he doesn't have any Chassidim who want to learn from him? And you know how the Tulsi Akiv Yosef says in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, it says that the righteous have disappeared and the simple folk have lost their faith. So he says you could understand it two ways. One, because there are no righteous leaders, therefore the simple folk have lost their faith. But he says you could just as well read it the other way around. Because the simple folk have lost their faith, so they don't produce righteous leaders. We depend on each other, right? We want to look up to our leaders, but if we don't ask them for the Torah, then they don't become the Rebbes. And the other way around, you know, if they don't want to teach us, then, you know, we don't have the questions. So the answer is that besides wanting something, and this is a rule in life, besides wanting something really badly, I also have to get in touch with that part of me that is in pain over not having that thing. And I have to connect in order to open myself up to become the conduit. I have to, and it doesn't just apply to, you know, physical life, also spiritual life and emotional life and mental life. Every part of my life that these two things apply. You know, now, I guess, if I look at this Torah, I could go back to the Sefer Yetzirah and look at the whole thing all over again and see, you know, how how this spiritual rule applies. So there it comes back to the posuk with which he opens the sedra here, and he says, "V'hoyo ekev tishmu'un," and it will be when you listen to these laws, "Ushmartim vasisem oisam," and you guard them and do them. So he says, "V'hoyo ekev." Ekev also translates as a heel. He says, "V'hoyo ekev tishmu'un," if you can listen and hear how everything spiritual is being ground down under the heel. He says, if you can experience the pain of watching your spiritual life go down the drain, right? And as well, ushmartem vasisem oisam. So the word to guard also means to desire, to hold on to your belief, like it says with Yosef when he had his dreams and his brothers made fun of him. It says, va'oviv shomares hadom, and his father guarded the thing, meaning he waited to see when would it happen, because his father understood that it wasn't just a simple dream. Shomar, to guard something, means to hold something in your heart in anticipation. So he says, this is the meaning of this week's sedra, v'hoyo ekev tishmu'un, if you can really hear how low things have gone and experience the pain of, I guess, looking at ourselves and seeing how low we've fallen, right? And ushmartim vasisem, and also to hang on to the anticipation of things changing, he says, then the end of the verse makes sense. V'shom Hashem lekecha l'chos habris v'sach chesed. So then God will do the same for you. And the desire and anticipation and the pain and the angst of it not happening will come together and will make it happen. So I was thinking that this can explain the last Mishnah in Tanis. Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel says, "Lo yhoyu yomim tovim liyisroel kechamisha sabav." There were no festivals, there were no holidays in Israel like the 15th day of Av, Yom HaKippurim, and like Yom Kippur. So today's the 15th of Av, and probably by you it's already turning night, but here it's still, the sun is still shining. Shebehem b'noi Yerushalayim yoytzeitz b'klei lovan. Because it was on this day, on Yom Kippur and on the Tu B'Av, that the girls, the women, the daughters of Jerusalem would go out b'klei lovan shulin. They would go out in white clothes that they had borrowed. Shaloi levayesh mi she'ein lo, so not to embarrass anybody who didn't have nice clothes. So they would borrow, everybody would borrow from somebody else. And they would go out v'cholos b'krumim, and they would dance. They would dance in the vineyards. And what would they say there? And they would, you know, anybody who wasn't married would then go out into the vineyards, and the women would dance and invite the men to look at them, and the ones who were beautiful would say, you know, look at me, and the ones who weren't beautiful but came from a good family would, you know, everyone had something to say. And this is how the Gemara in Tanis ends. This is the end, the last of Tanis. And yeah, b'yom chasunosoim, yom simchas liboy, the chasana, the day of the chasana. B'yom chasunosoi is the day of the chasana, is the day of matan Torah, is the day of the wedding. B'yom simchas liboy, and the day of the rejoicing of the heart, is the day of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. It should happen in our time. So the question is, there's a few questions. The B'nai Yisachar has a beautiful beautiful Torah, but he asks a really good question. Why white clothes? Everybody knows that beautiful clothes are not white clothes. Beautiful clothes are colored clothes. Like the Gemara says, before Yontif, a person should buy his wife new garments, and it should be colored. So why were they going out in white clothing? And why the 15th of Av? All right, we can understand We can understand Yom Kippur. The Gemara says we can understand Yom Kippur was a day of rejoicing because it's a day of forgiveness. But why the 15th of Av? And so the Gemara in Tanis has a long list of things that happened. It was the day on which the last of the people who were going to die in the wilderness, that was the last day that they died. So it was the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. And there were many other things, other reasons for it to be that in later times, in biblical times, after one of the kings had prevented everybody from going to Jerusalem for the holidays, for the pilgrimages, then that was the day that those police were taken away from the roads and everybody was allowed to go up. And it was also a day in which the tribes were permitted when we first came into the land. So because some of the women inherited land, so they had to marry their cousins, so the property wouldn't go out of the tribe. So that was, there came a time when everybody said, okay, that law is finished, now everybody can marry everybody else. It was also a time when the tribe of Benjamin wasn't allowed to marry because everybody was at war with the tribe of Benjamin. It was on the 15th of Av one year that it was decided that that ban was over and so forth. So there was many things. So the Bnei Sasra says like this. The creation of the world, even though we talk about Rosh Hashanah as being the creation of the world, in fact, Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, is the creation of Adam. So Adam was created on the sixth day. So there were 5 days. There were 5 days before in which the creation began, right? So starting on the 25th of Elul, was God said, "Let there be light," and 26th, God divided between the waters above and the waters below, and so forth. If I count 40 days before the 25th of Elul, then I come to the 15th of Av. So we know that 40 days before a soul comes into this world, Arboim Yom Kodem Yetziras Havlat, before the conception, 40 days before conception already, a voice goes out from heaven saying, the daughter of such and such a couple will marry the son of such a couple. So 40 days before the creation of the world, so to speak, already a voice comes out from heaven describing what it is that God wants to do. Oh. What is it that God wants to do? And we know, in order for there to be the act of creation, there has to be not just the desire, but there has to be the unblocking of the desire. There has to be the pain of wanting something and not having it. So, kavyochol, you know, I don't want to go into what was before creation. But on the 15th of Av, I can connect with that desire and pain that comes from before the creation of the world. On Yom Kippur, it was a good time for people to go out and look for their soulmates because we weren't eating on that day. And eating is a really powerful way of blocking feelings, right? If I'm lonely, if I'm angry, I'm tired, whatever it is, I'm hurt, I just go for the fridge, right? Go for the ice cream. Me, personally, go for the chocolate. Yeah, drug of choice. Who needs crack cocaine? Just a bar of Swiss chocolate, gewalt. 2 bars of Swiss chocolate, I'm out, right? On Yom Kippur, everybody's fasting. If on Yom Kippur everybody's fasting, then the feelings that you feel, then you really get in touch with who it is you are and what it is you want. So Yom Kippur was a day for going out into the krumim, for going out into the vineyards, for doing shiduchim, because not only could you be in touch with your desire, but you could also be in touch with that part of you which is in pain, which unblocks the tzina. But how does it happen on Tu B'Av? What is it that happens on Tu B'Av? So I want to say that, in a sense, it goes even deeper. It goes even deeper. It goes into the divine desire and also into the divine pain. And that on Tu Ba'av, you know, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu starts to die the moment the 40 years of the wilderness are over, right? Even though the Gemara says that was the first time that God spoke to him really in 40 years, was the day that everybody stopped dying. You know, what does God say? You know, basically wrap up. It's time for you to die. Nevertheless, on this day, we're really in touch with such something which is so big, which is what? Yisroel Ola B'machshava, right? We know that the first thought, Soif Ma'aseh B'machshava Techila, the last act of God, is always already there in the first thought. The Torah begins Bereishis, in the beginning, and Rashi brings Medrash, because of Israel, because of Yisrael, who are called Reishis. Right? So the idea of Yisrael, the idea of you and me and our parents and our children until the end of time, this is the thought that God has 40 days before, so to speak, the creation of the world. You know, if you want to say that each day is 1,000 years, so whatever it means, we go so far back that God's desire for us and the pain at not having us, this is the creation of the world. The Bnei Yisrael says, what is the inyan of white? So he has a marvelous drash that he brings from Menachem Azari of Panu. There's a verse that says, God says, come, let's argue, let's fight. If your sins are like red scarlet, they're gonna go white. So why would God say, let's go and fight? Let's go and argue. Well, if God wants to forgive us, why does he want to argue? So the Ramami Panu says, because really, if God is the judge and we come in front of the judge with all our sins, then we're in deep trouble, because there's a demand for justice. You did such and such, so this is, you know, face the punishment. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. So what does God do? He says, no, I'm not going to be the dayan. I'm not going to be the judge. I'm going to be the bal din. I'm going to be your creditor. I'm going to come to the din like I have a din Torah with you, God says. We know the halacha. The Ramami Panu says, what's the halacha? If you've got a defendant, you've got a complainant, right? And you've got somebody trying to get out of it, right? So you've got two men who come to court. One of them is a millionaire and he's dressed in these rich robes, and one of them is a poor man dressed in rags. So the halacha is, we say to the rich man, either you lend him some clothing to this other guy and dress him, or you have to dress like him, because, you know, when the judges or the jury, whatever it is, when they look and they see you in all your finery and him, fachazit and fadrekt, and they, you know, it's like it biases. It's very hard to be unbiased when you face two people of such different station. So either you're going to dress like this poor man, or give him some clothes, clean him up and dress him up, so that we, the judges, we can be impartial. So God said, this is what I'm going to do with you. I'm not going to sit up there and judge you. No, I'm going to stand here in court and I'm going to demand of you that you, you know, pay me for everything that you've done. But the court will say, well, you know, look at them. Mitzerissen. They look so torn, and look at them with all their, they've got the scarlet clothing. Look at them. I mean, what we're going to say to God? You know, God, you have to dress up in sins? That you can't say to God. So God will have to lend us white clothing, right? God will have to lend us, you know, clean clothing free of sin, so that when we stand there in court, we at least look like a mensch. So that's why God is always saying, come, I want to argue with you. I want to fight with you. I want to do a din Torah with you. Because in that persona, then God is not the judge. He stepped down. In fact, he's standing. And then he says, that's the meaning in Chanukah, Amadatu lehem ba'es rivam. You stood up for them, because the judge always sits down, and the people in the dock, they always stand up. You know, so God gets off his chair as the judge, and he stands here and he argues against us. In arguing against us, then he has to dress us. So that's the meaning. The B'nai Soska says that on Tu B'Av, we would go out with borrowed white clothing. It's a whole new mystical meaning to the borrowed white clothing. That God is lending us the white clothing. Because God is arguing with us. God is saying, I'm in a din Torah with you. If I'm in a din Torah with you, then I have no choice, but I've got to take off. And he says, this is the meaning of the Zohar in Parshas Truma. The Zohar in Parshas Truma says, Zohar Satruma Ashitikhu Me'itam. This is the truma that you should take from them. This is the offering, zov, the kesef nechoshes. You should take gold and silver and copper and tcheles va'agoman v'telas shoni, and blue wool and purple wool and red thread. So the Zohar Kodesh says, zov, gold, this is Rosh Hashanah, because zov, we know, this is associated with din. Kesef is associated with chesed. This is Yom Kippur. Nechoshes, copper, This represents Sukkot. Blue wool is the color of Emunah, is the color of faith. This represents Pesach. Argoman, the purple, the royal color, this represents Shavuot. This represents the giving of the Torah and Malchus. Red, the Zohar Kodesh says, red is Tu B'Av. So he says, and because everybody would go out with colored clothing. So the B'nai Sos says, what do you mean colored clothing? The Gemara says we went out with white clothing. And he says, yeah, really? Really, we're all dressed in red, scarlet. We're all covered in scarlet. Novos, the master of the universe says, I have a bone to pick with you. I have a bone to pick with you. So I'm first thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to lend you something clean to wear so I can take you to Beis Din and do a Din Torah. So I want to say, just to finish, what is the Din Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us? What is the complaint that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us on Tu B'Av? And that is that we're not in touch with the desire, and we're not in touch with the pain of the unfulfilled desire. And unless we're in touch with the pain of the unfulfilled desire, nothing opens up in the world. If nothing opens up in the world, there is no world. Because we're now 40 days before the creation of the world. This is Arboim Yoim Koidim Yitzir Savlad. So a voice is going out from heaven saying the daughter of so, such and such is going to be married to such and such. And like the Mishnah ends, V'yoim Chasunosoi, the day of the Chasana, the day of the wedding, that's the day of the giving of the Torah. Obiyoim Simchas Liboy, and the joy, rejoicing of his heart, right? Because we know that when Moshe brought down the Ten Commandments, that was the Kiddushin, that was the betrothal, right? And when Moshe saw that we had worshipped the golden calf, he broke the Luchos, he broke the Ten Commandments, so that it should be she never got the ring, she was never betrothed, right? So then when he came down on Yom Kippur, what did he bring? The forgiveness. What was the forgiveness? The forgiveness was the second commandments, which is the Kiddushin. The Nisuin, the actual wedding, is when we stood under the chuppah at Sinai. This is the Erusin. When is the actual wedding? So the actual wedding, the Yichud, the connection, the being together, the intimacy, this hasn't been yet. This is Lo Asid Lovoy, right? So Rabbi Hashem is saying, it's not going to happen unless you have the equivalent, same, opposite desire and pain that I had before the creation of the world. This is the day, and the day is Tu B'Av. Everybody needs to open up to realize that inside us, all we have is the desire for our true zivug, the desire for the true connection, our soulmate, who is God. And also, more importantly, to get in touch with that part of us which is inconsolable in the pain of the disconnection, we get so comfortable that even though we say, yeah, I want to be a Yid, yeah, I want to keep Shabbos, yeah, I want to connect with Yidden, yeah, I want Mashiach to come, yeah, I want the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and I want the Kibbutz Golias, and yeah, and I want it. But, you know, can a person get in touch with that part of himself that is in constant, inconsolable grief about it not happening? As soon as we do that, all the gates open up. Because your lover is God. I bless you and me, we should happen, we should be, we should see, we should feel immediately now in our own time and our own days. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash and their connection with the true Zivuk. Shkoyach.